So, announcement time, right? We're so excited, you guys. We are finally able to announce that we have teamed up with none other than McDonald's and the HBCU Union. And we are going to be appearing live at the Southern Heritage Classic this weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Asante, tell the people where we're going to be and when.
That's right. Catch us performing live at the McDonald's tailgate at 3 p.m. We're so happy to see you. And the HBCU Union, please thank you for inviting us. And we can't wait to see you in Memphis.
So excited. So much more to come from this great partnership. So really excited. Be on the lookout for us in the South at a few great, great, great collegiate HBCU tailgate moments that we're going to be so happy to be performing live at. So the first one is this weekend, as we stated, in Memphis.
At the Southern Heritage Classic on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And again, we're going to be performing at the McDonald's tailgate at 3 p.m.
See y'all asses at 3.
Holla.
This week's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. With Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commute, no leaving the office, no squeezing in an appointment during your lunch hour, and no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this amazing show. Talkspace. Therapy for how we live today.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as K-Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Let me say this. If you were ever my friend, I don't care what you do that made me mad that I'm not talking to you no more, I would never go link up with your enemies or I never do nothing across you. That shows what type of bitch you were from the jump.
That's right. You heard it.
That shows what type of bitch you were from the jump.
Absolutely. And it's funny you picked that part to recite because this week's clip came from none other than Cash Doll. You know, she
that
is
belongs as an email signature.
Oh, absolutely. She is an American rapper, Black American Doll girl. And
313 Queen.
Yes, absolutely. And she often leaves us with these nuggets of wisdom via Instagram, it used to be her Snapchat, but now she's much more active on her Instagram stories. And this was one of the nuggets that she dropped with us. And of course, you know, hands down, everything that she said is the truth, right?
Amen.
It might as well be the 67th book of the Bible. It is literally like the truth, right? Okay. So if once you go from there, we then have to look a bit deeper. As always in this, you know, part of the show, we have some sort of a takeaway, a lesson, right? So once we do a deeper dive into this, she closed with saying, that shows the type of bitch you are from the jump. In today's society, it's so easy to be distracted by the little details and nuances and small things that are relative to just how you feel in that moment in the situation. But if you really want to assess a motherfucker, if you really want to, you know, gauge person's relevance in your life, prioritize them in your life accordingly, you got to go where? To the beginning, or take things from the jump, okay? Because that's what that means. Mm. Also known as from the giddy up, things like that. That's what that means, from the beginning, from the start, okay? You have to go back to the beginning of the story to get to the end.
Amen.
And so out of the vessel that we know as Cash Doll, we were gifted with that gem. I ain't really even got to go too deep into that because it's just kind of in your face.
Yes.
Okay. And with that being said, the hashtag for this week is from the jump, because you always want to look at things from the beginning to get a clear understanding. This ain't even about being funny. This is game and wisdom and jewels. Okay. That's what this is. So, you know, with that being said and most importantly understood, I just got a couple of questions that need answers and questions. That's right, Cash. All these bitches is trifling. Bunch of questions that, you know, niggas is asking. Question one.
James.
Okay, I thought it was the Dorito. I was about to say, you got the hot Cheeto.
Please, because oh, she'll be a crinkling bags.
Will Drake end up revealing to the world that it wasn't Kim, but Kris Jenner?
Oh, my goodness.
Who disrobed.
What?
rubbed Icy Hot on her elbows and knees, looked at Drake and said,
"What are we doing?
I could give it to you, but what you gonna do with it?" And then committed fornication.
Jesus.
What are we doing?
That being said, the second question niggas is asking is, the Kiki that he was speaking of actually eligible for discounted coffee?
Oh my god.
Will we be ever so blessed to be alive and well the day that Bobby Brown runs up on Kanye West and whips his ass for that bathroom photo?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yo.
I forgot about that.
I will never forget about that.
Blessings that we need. And with those questions being asked, I would definitely like to take this opportunity to welcome one, welcome all, welcome everybody to the Friend Zone, which is your weekly look and view into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell, Sheol or Hades, wants a musty brain? I know that don't apply to me. Quite sure it doesn't apply to anybody else in this room, so we move to the next section, which is saying, hey, friend.
Hey, Tester.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Before I ask you guys about your weekends, allow me to introduce our special guest.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
Today we are joined by Jade and XD.
Yes.
Of the Jade and XD podcast. Yay. Brr, 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 brr. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, niggas.
Would you like to give them your aliases?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
what's
I
your
thought
alias?
You were going
to. Oh, yeah. You know, let's get into some of those. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I am XD, Chuck D of homosexuality, a.k.a. homo without a pause, a.k.a. Wow. The gay Effie White, because, nigga, we all got pain.
Wow.
A.k.a. Hoesha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hoesha.
Okay.
Ho to the E to the.
Yes.
Hoesha.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll save the rest.
Wake up in the morning, get my panties off the floor. It's me.
It's me.
It's me.
Responsibility.
Call in that Uber and get my ass home. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's me.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other ones that I'll spare you all.
That's cool. Who is you, Jade?
Who is you?
You know that nigga.
Gang, gang.
AKA La Señorita Problemática Favorita.
Ooh. okay.
Ice.
AKA
your mom.
Your mom.
Yeah.
Cause all nice. These,
yeah.
Nice and to the point.
All these bitches.
AKA your mom. With that being said, most importantly understood.
Thank you, friend. Come on now.
How are your weekends?
Weekends was good, real good. You know, Jay, really quickly, just dialing back a bit. You know, you brought up that your mom, you're a good mom too. You got the only baby in the world who can't get offended when niggas be like, yo mama. So Noah already got a defense built in for playground bullying when they say yo mama.
She be like, I know.
Like, yup.
I know.
Sorry about that. My weekend was great, friend. Actually, that's the second. I keep mixing y'all up. I just love you both so much.
What'd you do?
Two halves of my whole. I actually was in Atlanta this weekend for work.
Hey.
I was in Atlanta. And I damn sure got a little play in. Everybody knows it was Spring Broke Weekend in Atlanta this weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
AKA Black Pride.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes. So you know, for those of you that are familiar with Atlanta, there's a club there called Compound, and it's a huge place.
Yeah.
And the fact that Compound was literally packed, the courtyard area, like all of it was packed wall to wall. It was a sea of people.
Wow.
It was amazing. Saw people from back in the day, fourscore 40 years ago.
I'm in awe.
That part was fun. And rode around and got it. Shout out to everybody. Yes. I had fun.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Asante?
I had a great weekend. I don't remember half of it. The half that I do remember is
awesome,
that I was playing video games. The new Shinobi Striker came out. Shout out to Kid Fury. He is already a super awesome shinobi, and I'm leveling up as we speak so I can whoop that ass. Shout out to my character. His name is Blang. For those that are unfamiliar, it's Black Aang. Aang is a character from Avatar who was an airbender. Well, he was the last airbender, but he was mastering all the other elements.
I thought you were going somewhere completely different with that. I thought you said your name was Blaine.
And then
Do you know who Blaine is? Go with that? You guys don't know who Blaine is? Blaine, is it Blaine Edwards?
Like David Blaine?
No, from Men on Films on In Living Color.
Oh,
no.
Blaine wow.
and Antoine Wright. That's not a, you know what I'm saying. I thought you would have did it to be funny. Right, so well, I was like, you said your name was Blaine? Like, oh my God.
That would have been classic. Anyway,
go ahead.
No, but yeah, I was playing my video game. It was amazing. I was social this week. I hung out with you guys watching Black TV. And thank you, because more of my Black friends are here, so I can tell you I will not be doing that again. You niggas talked during the entire show. I did not actually get to watch.
Who did?
Everybody.
Not me.
Black people always talk during TV. And you, friend, you knew what was going on, so you and Tristan was having back and forth conversation. And I was like, these niggas better not ruin this for me. I was stressed out the entire time I was watching. And so I was like, I'm not coming over on Sundays no more.
Sundays are fun.
I'm just fucking with y'all.
See you next Sunday.
Look. And I'll be back on Sunday with y'all niggas.
XD, how was your weekend?
It sucked, actually. I had oral surgery, so I was in the bed, you know, laid up.
Oh, no. Yeah. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, you know, everything's straight like 9:15, I mean, you know.
Did you have people bring you ice cream?
No, that did not happen. I had to go get it myself.
Speaking of happened, yeah. Again, I thought you were going somewhere completely different.
Now I'm interested.
How was
your
weekend?
Going
it somewhere
sucked.
Different.
I had oral.
No,
right.
No.
I was like,
Hoisha was just a joke.
No. Jade, I know you were at Mikosa.
Yes, the best party in Brooklyn. I did Mikosa. It's my second year doing it. It's Mikosa's 9th year running. So shout out to DJ One Way Possible, Tara, and DJ Tara. Shinobi Shaw. Yes, Fran missed it.
I know.
Aww.
You know, because she was
so
adulting.
So sad. I was adulting.
She was adulting, but it was a good time. Like, shout out to all the listeners. We got lots of love. Y'all got love.
Oh, thank
people
you.
People gave y'all love through me, and it was a good time. It was a good black ass time.
Yeah. If I would have been a DJ at that party, I would have played Mama Say, Mama Say, and then cut it off and be like, Mikosa.
They did play Lil Duval, Living My Best Life.
Oh shit. Did they play that at the club?
Hell no.
Oh, not I didn't know if that was a good thing now.
It isn't, but not everywhere.
No. I feel like you have to have like a specific like socioeconomic status for you to play that at a certain place.
Mm. Living my best life.
What about you, friend? I know you said you were adulting this weekend, but what else were you getting into?
I mean, honestly, that took up my whole weekend.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Crystal and I had a lot of furniture to shuffle around the city because she's reorganizing her place. And then I had a couple friends that needed furniture. So we were just kind of like doing a house
swap.
When
I tell you, Fran, I'm going to just say it. Your ass needs a TV show.
Me?
Because
why?
That's a fucking movie. The fact that you, A, found a new home for all of her furniture, and then you, like, it were helping them set it up and
oh,
how it
yeah,
should go.
Oh, yeah, and I was sending them pictures of how I was setting up her furniture at my friend's house.
Only to take out that furniture and then design what Crystal was putting in her new shit. Because I was looking around, I was like, okay, for the furniture? And she was like, yep, this piece, this oh rug. God, I was like, you. I see it.
I love it. We've literally been like Martha Stewart home mode for like weeks now.
Last Queen week, of interiors. We designed her entire bedroom.
Right, we did. Wait till y'all wait
everything.
Till y'all see this chair.
Nigga,
let
me tell
you,
Crystal,
let me tell you about all the photo shoots that I will be taking in Crystal's
no,
bedroom.
For real. Wait.
Come on, HGTV.
Right?
Like, for real, you about to be on TV.
I'm really good at it. I love it. That probably would have been another job of mine if I had the time.
Ooh, a Fran interior.
It's coming back around, Fran.
Maybe
Fran.
That'll
sure.
work.
I like that.
Me,
I like, that
like
title.
A line of...
You should.
Of home, like home
yeah.
goods.
Because she'd be adding her friend.
Beautiful.
Shout at me, ABC.
It's coming, Fran.
Right?
I just want to be part of it. Because I see the vision.
Yeah. But anyways, y'all ready to jump into the recap?
Oh, yeah. With our kneecaps.
So on last week's episode, which was Dustin's wildcard episode titled Fix My Life, Dustin gave us a rundown of a couple of pop culture news that he wanted us to kind of give our take on, or rather give advice on, because it was things that different celebs were going through. As always, you guys had a ton of things to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to shout out in the emails to Christy, who the subject is Death Sucks Butt.
Yeah,
all right. Hi, guys. I've been with friends since she got that first ninja and convinced me to make my own hair products. I'm a proud OG beautiful one, auntie to the pot. And I remember that because I remember trying to get that damn ninja from your ass. Anyway, as a healthcare worker who sees the suffering of people at the end of their lives, I encourage everyone to have several short, lighthearted conversations about how they would like to spend their last days. It may take some finessing, but you set the tone for the other person, and you may be surprised where the discussion goes. Open with, when it's my time, I don't want to be in the hospital. I want to be at home in my bed. How about you? It won't be easy with everyone, but if you do this in company of those who will be responsible for making the arrangements, you've eliminated some of that stress and anxiety from an extremely difficult situation. I thought that was really, really dope to share because we were talking about, you know, death and things that we need to, or ways to open those doors. So I thought those were some really cute ways to share because for me, I was like, I don't know how I would be able to be like, so is you dying or what? How you gonna die? You know, that sounds fucked up. I don't know how to really get there and do that. So thank you, Christy.
I was surprised by how many people have been really touched by that combo. Not touched in a way where they're like, this is deep, but just like, yo, please, please have this episode, because they were sharing tons of stories of things that they've been through where, because their parents weren't prepared or someone in their life wasn't prepared, they had to take on the debt of buying gravestones. And if anyone knows about the death industry, it is expensive. A business. I know a friend of mine went to like $18,000 or $20,000 in debt because her parent didn't have anything. He didn't have a coffin. So she had to come out of, it's basically another bill.
Can I tell you, this is going to sound really dark and fucked up, but when I was younger and I had like really deep, dark thoughts, I remember the only reasons I wouldn't like act, I'd be like, can't nobody afford this shit. This is something else somebody got to worry about.
Right, yeah. True. Like,
no, that's true. And when I was listening last week, and that's why I texted you, I was just like, I know what I want to happen when I go on to glory.
Really? You already have it planned?
Oh, yeah. Are you gonna be I plan how I'm going to die, because I always say when people die, they need to be, you always know when people are about to die because they always want to go home, because people want to die amongst their things.
Interesting.
Like when Aretha, the queen, passed away, when she left hospice and she went home, I was like, I knew this was going to end, because I'm like, she needed to be with her things. So I have this whole vision of how I'm going to pass away. So I'm going to die like Jackie O. So I'm gonna be
Jackie O is still alive and rapping in Miami.
No, she's not. she's homophobic now, so she's dead.
Ooh.
Okay. So
but she was ugly anyway.
Yeah. That's
But
anywho, but like Jacqueline Onassis, right? So like she died at home on Fifth Avenue in her penthouse apartment next to her loved ones with her things.
They sat there while she died.
I mean, she had cancer.
Oh, you said next to her. You mean like they was.
They were there.
Like there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought he meant everybody like, just got like, on the couch like, you ready?
Oh, no.
I mean, it was like was like Imitation of Life. Like, you remember how like when...
Mama!
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 Sarah Jane! Sarah Jane!
Done!
Soon I will be done. Trouble of the world. You gotta literally have to tuck and stretch your lips when you sing that song.
What is wrong done.
With y'all? Mama, I didn't mean to hurt you, Mama.
Sarah Jane.
Did she drag Sarah Jane out the street? No, but I want to be. I decided I want to be. I found out that you can be turned into a diamond when you die.
That's what you text me.
Yes. So
XD literally sends me a text in the middle, like out of the blue. He's like, I want to be a diamond when I die.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bitch that's forever. So that's what
A slogan.
I like that.
Yes. Y'all, a funeral slogan. Yes. I am here.
Oh, and it's going to be, and then the event, it's going to be called the Omega event. Because it's the last event.
Oh my God! You really thought this through.
Well, yeah, because one of my greatest fears is dying. So in order for me to process death, because it happens to everybody,
is to prepare
for it. And so the only way I can have it, just like Asante said, having these light conversations internally, like, you know, you get bogged down with the death and all that good stuff. But I'm like, well, I ain't got to worry about that shit. I'm leaving. So why not have it be for me? Like,
yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm not afraid of death. Only time that makes me uncomfortable is when my mom talks about it is in regards to her. Then I get so anxious because I'm like, that's going to be the worst day of my life. So I don't even want to think about
it. Shut up.
You
even talk like that.
I know. And I don't even want to think about it. But it's when it comes to me, I don't fear it. I just, the only thing I ask is that it's not painful. Like, please let it be easeful or in my sleep, which would be ideal. But funny enough, people were tagging me because someone had posted a video on Instagram of turning into a tree when you die. And people were like, oh my God, this is a convo you guys were just having last week. And I was like, yes, it is. And it showed the process, like from beginning to end, of how you get turned into this tree. And now everybody's been tweeting me like, I'm going to fucking get turned into a tree.
Like, I thought about being turned into a tree, but then I'd be like, oh, it's going to get chopped down and turned into like something for like, you know, like the new Gilead, because we're going to turn it to the Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
don't ruin my dreams. But wouldn't a field of trees that you can visit people be so much nicer than a cemetery?
I will be visiting. I'm never going to die. I will be visiting people forever. Yeah.
That's literally,
I have
like
a list of people that I'm going to haunt.
Same.
It's a haunted forest.
You're going to haunt people? A haunted forest?
Literally. That's a haunted forest.
I haunt people now.
That's what it is.
When you said that, like, looks-wise, fine, but, like, you know, spiritually.
So you think you'd be creeped out walking through
it? I'm out of heebie-jeebies. Like,
but a cemetery doesn't creep you out?
Yes, but a forest full of trees.
Put it like this.
People trees. Like this used to be somebody's mama.
It's like Pocahontas.
It's literally a haunted forest, but on a lighter note, you know, silver lining, you guys will have a hell of a lucrative fall season because the hay rides you could take through the trails, you know, that people would literally be scared as hell to go on. I mean, it's literally, we tell you up front, listen, this is literally dead people, okay? So we finna scare the shit out of you. Flat out. It's like a guaranteed moneymaker for the fall. I'll tell you that.
They have stuff like that, though.
Someone told me that they would want to be a fruit tree so people can eat their mangoes.
That's right.
That sounds
sexy.
What a needy leaf finger snap way to die.
The life that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
literally.
I love that. Eat me in death. Since you can be transformed into a seed.
Oh my God, Sheree Whitfield Street, eat me, darling.
What about being turned into like a, you know, a cannabis plant?
That's exactly.
I can see that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, and people can smoke me and feel my vibes.
Can you imagine a jade strand?
Your own strand.
My own strand.
I see that.
I would be a limited.
That's
maybe this
than
needs to be someone's
fame.
Company where they literally come up with creative content for your death. Right?
Thank you.
No, but,
like content creation, but not for the digital space, more so for the death of.
But it could be.
Right?
Like, it could be like sponsored by Supreme or something.
All I know is they better not use me to soil no Reggie.
This is going to become too trendy. Then everybody going to write out their deaths and just be dying left and right. They're like, I'm ready to go out like a G. I got my shit planned out to the nines. And then, like, get shot up.
And then you could work with brands. And then you have sponsored posts on Instagram that'll
my
pay
Omega
off
event.
Your
cost.
Posthumously.
Posthumous sponsored posts.
The agency can be called The Upper Room. It's a consulting firm.
This is low-key genius.
This is a Black Mirror skit.
It really is.
I'm haunting niggas if they use my soil to make any Reggie. I better be a high grade.
Right.
That's all I'm
of
saying.
Of course.
I'll haunt your
whole
family.
That's a Black Mirror skit, too.
Medicinal. Yeah. Boo.
I haunt people now.
Only. Exactly.
I will show up in a dream.
Tickle somebody's legs. If I was a ghost, if I was haunting people, I would do your worst nightmare. Literally, when it comes to being haunted, I would tickle your leg. You know, everybody, I don't want nothing to get my legs. That's the first thing you think when you're about to get got by one of them spirits. I don't want nothing to get my legs. I'd be tickling the shot of everybody. That knee bend, the back of your knee bend, I'd fuck with
it. Knee.
Hell yeah.
Not my
knees, blow on your nostrils while you sleep. Shit like that. Oh my God. I mean, this motherfucker, I'm telling you, I would be that kind.
Push somebody down so that they can't get up.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah, all of that, yeah.
So you'd be a bully even
me
after that.
Me and Jay
that.
Would be
I'm
rolling.
Not. I'm a vigilante. I'm not a bully.
Right.
Just tripping people. Just
spiritual justice.
Well, I appreciated the comment about death. What about you, Fran?
It's another death comment.
We're
they were really honest. Kellyanne on SoundCloud said, "My perspective of my inevitable death really sparked when my father shielded me with his body during a drive-by.
Wow.
We were picking up food from one of his favorite carryouts. Everything was a blur, but I remember other children being rushed to the back of the restaurant after the shooting stopped. I had seen other adults shielding children, and it was amazing to see how strangers immediately collaborated to ensure the safety of the defenseless. Fortunately, absolutely no one was injured, and I remember the energy feeling triumphant, at least among us children. When I asked my dad whether he was afraid in that moment, he denied any fear without hesitation. He told me, 'You, your sister, and your mother are my reason for living. My purpose is to be a good father, and if I die protecting you, then I have lived my life in the best way possible.' Aww. And that was the moment that I accepted that when I die, it will be fine as long as I live with a purpose."
Oh. Amen.
Oh, that was so... First of all, oh my God. Right? A drive-by at the carryout.
Girl, because you know that was one of my greatest fears.
Ooh.
My not father, getting the food.
Oh my God.
I had to lift it up. Shit, okay? Everybody in here about to cry. Oh, shit. No. I'm like,
no, only because
laugh.
That was my thought.
Some kind of way.
Oh, you guys.
But no, that, I mean.
That is scary.
That is scary.
Seamless
like,
tells you that right. Your order is scary.
Like, oh, right. Damn. Oh, I hate slavery.
Like, on top of. You know what I'm saying?
I already
like,
see damn. What this episode
right.
Is.
Fuck, I died.
No, but then
I'm going to give it to God.
Deadass, when I was in school, it was like second or third grade. My father.
Jade, if you don't speak into the mic.
Oh, my bad.
She keep looking at me.
So she's just talking to you, friend.
Right? Like we at her crib on the couch.
So listen, that's it. So when I was in like second or third grade, they asked us about our fears, our biggest fears. So people writing about spiders and snakes, all kinds of
and
shit.
Yours was a drive-by?
My father showed me way too many John Singleton movies when I was younger.
James Hood is out.
She's I like, knew I was going to die in a drive-by.
You just knew one day you was going to jump.
I was seven. I don't want to get shot in a drive-by.
Really?
Too many John Singleton movies. Do not show your children oh this to society God. When they are
you
six.
You imagine the teacher like, okay, Jade, thank you.
That's exactly like, what it was like. Miss Wilson, she was right. Like, oh, that's I mean... so, that's uncomfortable. Okay.
Imagine her later on at home with her husband. Like, I don't know. Some of these kids are afraid of drive-bys.
I don't think I'm ready for this. Dangerous
very
minds.
Dangerous minds.
Dangerous minds.
You spend most of your lives dangerous living minds. In gangster's oh paradise.
I felt like I would have hated Michelle. The shit out of old girl. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. I really can't stand her to this day.
People like that play that role in real life, you always hate them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I still refuse to watch The Blind Side.
You know Frida on Insecure?
Uh-huh.
You remember when during the job fair, I don't know if you guys saw that episode where they had the billboard mm-hmm. that had like quotes from each worker. It said that her favorite movie was I can't even get it out. They said that was her favorite movie.
Dangerous Minds.
You know, there's a I meant to bring it to you all today. So there's speaking of all this, there's a site called whitepeoplecan'tsaveyou.org.
What?
And it is 34 minutes of white savior movie clips.
Oh, shit.
And the whole time, they're like, white people can't save you. White people can't save you.
Oh, I need this. I need that right now.
Oh, hold on. I'm about to hook you up. I'm about to bless you.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at Tess's face.
White do they play the jingle at the end of each clip they show?
No, it's throughout the whole. Oh, hold on.
Who came up with this?
I'm sorry.
But while you look for it, Dustin, yes. Tell us what you found in the Twitter streets.
Okay, well, I want to give some love to @Brandlyn_BRANDLYN, who said, "I swear these two lines are in my head 24/7 and accompanied it with the cutest video." Check that. Listen.
Any street.
Yeah. Go off.
And she couldn't even she get out without me. Laughing, which made me, like, that just made me so happy.
She was singing the key in Z flat. Okay.
Right. So shout out to
go up.
Shout out to, and her Twitter name is, like I said, @_Brandlyn. And then she also goes by Brown Sugar Babe.
Cute.
Shout out to D'Angelo. Right? I also want to give a shout out to Funny Julius, our homeboy.
Julius!
Hey. Who reminded me that I tweeted back on back in July of 2016, can you imagine if Hillary had finger waves? Now, that was during, she was on TV, may have been a debate, I don't know. But just imagine if Hillary Clinton wore those pantsuits during her presidential run and had finger waves to boot.
That was like her bad bitch
Can you imagine, like, if she was pulling up to the debates with finger waves?
Or French roll.
I'm telling you, like...
With the pearls.
With the pearls.
Just to show y'all who was ready to take over the country.
I tell you, right.
The banana clip.
Right.
Yo, y'all are killing me today. Okay. Like, I can't.
I also want to give a shout out to Mixolo Jesus. Got it. So Mixolo Jesus, Jason Ryan Smith be his name. And he tweeted, walked into the eye doctor by my gym to see if they accepted my insurance, and Mary J. Blige's Family Affair is playing. I'm going to take that as a sign that I'm supposed to use them. And yes. They tagged me in it.
Dead.
So I love the fact that Mary J. Blige affirmed it for you too, my brother. And you know what? I think that's all I'm going to talk about in the Twitter streets this week. There's more, but it's visual stuff. I could describe it, but we got so many voices this week. I'm ready to talk to us all.
Right.
So we're going to close this here down and move on.
Did you find the clip? Are you going to close us out?
I sent it to you all.
I definitely
got
his text.
Oh, you sent it to... Okay. Yeah,
this is for us to enjoy later.
Yeah. Whitepeoplewon'tsaveyou.org.
Yeah, no. Already it looks pretty riveting. Yeah.
Well, let's jump into this week's episode. Even though I think it should be a little more off the cuff than structure, because I think between all of us, it'll be just
we
fine.
We brought the blackest show about nothing. We really did.
Sorry, we ruined your structure. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
We ruined everything. Sorry, guys.
But I do have a question.
Yes.
Because we have been talking about Love Is.
Ooh, the guy.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
XD and I watch via text.
Yeah.
So.
Is it over yet?
It is, actually. Yes. Oh, the first season was completed. So I'm mad at all the reactions. Yeah. You finished watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's my question. Because I think most people, and this goes for every show, this isn't even about Love Is. This just goes for shows on television and online.
Everybody just exhaled. Okay, cool. All right.
You know, when you're a creator of a show, especially if it's like, I know Mara Brock-Akil and her husband, this is based, loosely based on their marriage and how they met and their love affair. So when you're creating a show that's based on your story, it makes sense why you feel the need to tell it, right? You want to... It makes sense. We all want to share our stories. We want to share what happened to us. But here's my question. Is it... And like I said, this has nothing to do with Just Love Is. Is it...
Thank you for doing that. Okay, because I was... Ooh,
you see, I just was laughing.
Is your story worth sharing if it's not contributing anything new to the conversation?
Mm. You know, that's about to sound really shady. But, like, you know how, like, you be walking down the street and you hear people and be like, oh, my God, we should have a reality TV show, and you know they shouldn't.
Right. Right. That's what I mean. And I get it. All of us think we should. Like,
not everybody needs to tell their story.
Mm. Say it again.
Like, not everybody needs to tell their story.
Because I wonder that, because with watching Love Is...
Because some of that shit did.
A lot of the love story just felt so old and toxic, you know? And it felt like we all...
We were toxic in the 90s, you know?
We were.
True.
You know?
The thing is, most of us are still toxic and still in those types of relationships and still figuring those things out. But that's why I wonder, like, how is it helpful to see that?
No, because I feel like they're glorifying, like, they... This nigga was all manners of controlling and hotep and problematic and ashy in so many ways in his soul. And then they have this beautiful love story and they show him as old people. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So did he get better or?
Did he get better?
Like, are y'all going to show that part?
It's like, does he get better or did she learn how to cope?
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of times, I feel like a lot of times in any type of dynamic, like even when I watch Insecure, I feel like at some point Issa learned how to cope.
Right.
And then until she got her, you know.
Her itch scratch.
Yeah, her itch scratch.
But I don't think there's any like definitive transition that's taking place, right, in Issa's development on the show. Issa D, not Issa Rae.
Correct.
But like, yeah, like I don't think this is like a beginning and end type journey. Shit just happens in life. And you think about shit differently the older you get. That's just the way it works. So for Issa, I just feel like right now that's the stage she's in. Back to Love Ain't. I think that
because that's what it should be
I'm
called.
Just saying, Nuri would have got on my nerves
because Nuri talked right. too damn much.
Just Nuri was damn. Clingy. I was about to call him Uriel, which is awful. Yuri, what's his name?
Yuri yes. and Nuri.
Yassir. Earl. His name is Earl.
Rhonda.
Yes, Rhonda. See, you feel me?
Anyway, his Who's name is other? Earl. He had a lot of problems, right? And I know this isn't just about love, isn't it? It's about your story needing to be told.
Right.
But this dials back to that point because I think that there were... First of all, I want to say this. I don't believe that every story that gets told has to be helpful.
No.
Some things, right? Like some things I feel like, and this is where the debate comes in for me with everybody saying that like it's so problematic to show like, Yassir, right?
Yassir.
And Nuri. Okay, because they're making terrible decisions and choices and all that stuff. But is it entertaining?
Yeah.
Is it entertaining to watch, right? And it is entertaining to watch. Beyond that, I'm satisfied. I just don't give a damn. So my thing then becomes, the question is now, but is it good? You know what I'm saying? So, like, is your story interesting enough to... And this, for me... goes into all of these think pieces. It goes into all these Twitter threads, all that shit. I don't always have to know how you think or feel about stuff.
Right.
I don't. So I don't feel like every story does need to be told. If it ain't good and interesting, you can keep it to your motherfucking self. Yeah. And that applies to all the other things I mentioned before. Now back to Love Is. Nuri would have got on my nerves. I'm going to tell you why. Because it was like immediately after they met, she took like ownership of like him and like what he had to do well. It was just like, yeah, they had a really fast track to whatever their love became. But goddamn, like you just met me. And some of the things that they both, okay, I'll be fair. Some of the things that they both were asking of each other were ridiculous.
After she a week, just,
like the way she acted at his mama's house with the his son's mom came and just sometimes you just need to know when to be quiet and be nice. Just be quiet and be nice. That's your job when you're that person, whether you're the girlfriend or the boyfriend.
Like you are new,
right? Just be quiet and be nice and make sure everybody gets through this as comfortable as possible.
And you, sorry, destiny,
right?
Oh my god, you know,
right.
I don't know. I've been trying to figure out, and Jay, this might help because you're married. So, like, do you view this show different? Like, I asked people, I wonder if people would view the show differently between people who are partnered or in love or whatever, or experience this kind of fast-track kind of love situation and married as to those who are single. So I'm asking you, Jade, is, like, how do you view this show? I mean, you're the married woman in the room, so how would you... Like, do you feel like you might have enjoyed the show differently or not at all or looked at the show differently if you were single?
No, I think I view the show differently because I'm in my 30s.
Hey,
that's
no.
That's also a thing.
I'm like, if I was in my 20s, this shit might be sweet. But right now, I'm like, problem, red flag, red flag, red flag. The whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, nope, this nigga is nope, absolutely not. She's aggravating. She's irritating. Your mama, your daddy was in jail. Your mama was in jail. Like, it's just so.
I watched the show. I'm much more of the, you know, eat popcorn and look from left, make my eyes dart from left to right. Like, that's how I watch it. Like, I'm not thinking about, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not thinking about, you know, oh, how bad this is. Things. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, ooh, what happened next? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, yeah.
Maybe because I'm an old lady, so all I do is make comments about stuff. But I was watching it, and I'm like, from jump, like, this nigga went and introduced himself right after his homeboy told him, I'm about to shoot my shot.
Right.
And he's like, my name's Yassir. Her name's Nuri. He came back, and I'm like, nigga, why didn't you slap the shit out of him? Like, that's how I watch TV. And like, the fact what I would do.
He had a girlfriend, though, his friend. Or he's married, too.
Right, so they was both trash.
I don't think he was... Was he? I don't think he was with his...
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, well, I don't
Ruby.
Know
about y'all. You're talking about Ruby?
No, his friend that was trying to get with him.
Yeah, I don't remember if they were together or not, but I still thought that it was corny. That
he was still living with... He was living with his baby mama.
I like her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
His friend's baby mama, she, like, when they had their engagement, I liked her.
I know.
But, I mean, I guess that's what made me ask the question, because I know there are people who... don't care if the show brings value, like you said. Is it good? Does it make me laugh?
Yeah.
Will it make me come back again to see it next week? And then there are other people who are like, what is this putting out there? Like, what's the message that it's putting out there as far as relationship dynamics, especially in this day and age?
You know, I saw a tweet that was like, bitch, I'm tired of black excellence. Like, why can't I just be like black, all right?
Right.
That's and, I
like
that.
And I'm like, yeah, bitch, me too. Like, I'm like, when is black girl, I guess, happening? And I always like in this kind of
Monday
like,
nights at 8 p.m. on VH1.
Because I think every time that comes up, I think about my fallen favorite show ever that I'll never forgive the internet for.
I know what you're about to say, and
Sorority Sisters.
You was about to say that.
I hated that.
But my thing is not every show needs to have this whole purpose, this excellence, this what are we saying here? Like, sometimes shows are just entertaining, and they could just sit there.
Right.
And you gonna sit there on Sorority Sisters?
That's okay. Maybe it's a bad example, but my point is,
I get what you said.
The one wanted to make those big ass shoes. Remember, she was making like cleats.
Priyanka Banks.
She was making football cleats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I just couldn't believe
for women
that.
Who have a particular shoe size.
Oh my god! Football
I thought
cleats?
She had a deal with Under Armour for that. I thought she had a shoe deal with Under Armour.
But I mean, like you see all these other shows that they're just like they're just there, and it's just. Like, okay, and people enjoy them. I don't have to have, like you said, Dustin, like, I don't have to have, like, this think-pieced thing. Like, sometimes it's like, you know, girl,
no,
I'm
good. Not saying that these content creators are, you know, void of responsibility. Yes, like, sure, you do have, especially as your platform grows and you have your audience becomes larger, you do have to make sure, you know, your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. But that doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice the story you want to tell to do that. You know what I'm saying? As long as you ain't, you know, wearing MAGA hats outside of that right now, I can really let anything slide.
That's fair.
And Issa said that was her goal with Insecure, mm-hmm. was to just show black people just being regular as fuck.
And I love that. And it makes it refreshing.
Yeah, she was like, she didn't want every episode to be, you know, drama or super intense or think PC, but more so just like, you know, people going through everyday shit like losing jobs, breakups, cheating, jobs. Pregnancies, marriage, friendships breaking up, friendships reuniting, you know, and it just, I think she's done a great job of that. Mm-hmm. But here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned it not mattering, but then what happens, how do you make your show stand out, though, if everybody's just a regular, like, black, all right? You know what I mean? Then what do you do to make your show be a black, all right, that people want to watch?
So I feel like a lot of black people remember, you know, the You Pick a Nigga Network, UPN.
Oh, that was my shit.
And there was just tons of so black mean. Content.
So good.
I'm going to even take you from 101 to Homeboys in Outer Space. Like, you know, just so many shows.
Malcolm and Eddie,
like so many shows, right? And I think one thing that...
This journey of discovery. I'm finding you, I'm finding me.
Now that I have someone special...
That brings out the joy inside of me.
See, one thing that I really appreciate about black TV is that there's so much of it, and I don't think that it all has to be good, which is why I can enjoy trash TV. Like, when people started to jump ship on, like, haves and have-nots, they were like, oh, I'm not watching this. This is too much. For me, I was like, this is all over the place, but there are a lot of white shows that don't do shit or talk about shit or ain't about shit. Like, I'm gonna watch. Like,
that's why just I still I watch Power.
Look, and you know what? that's a great example, because a lot of people will say, like, oh, I'm not watching that because
they doing way too much.
And for the longest, I didn't watch because I was like, these sex scenes are terrible. And they still are terrible.
They're very terrible.
But once I got into kind of the story, I was like, okay, this is like a dope story. Like, you know, Kingpin, Black Shit, New York, I'm in. Like, that was my sell-in. And I look at shows like Star and Empire. Like, a lot of those shows ain't really for me, but there are audiences for. And I say, if Black people want to be on board for these, we should go on ahead and support everybody. Like, Taraji's on Empire, so I'm not going to just not support it. You know, I'm going to support Taraji. Like, there are a lot of wins in TV for Black people. And so when people say content is, like, mediocre or didn't do well, blah, 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 in my mind, I'm kind of like, all right, it didn't do well. But, you know, somebody got some work, and we're going to see some talent emerge at some point. Because I think about all those Black-ass films from Atlanta, the Rainforest films, which was, like, Two Can Play at That Game with Vivica Fox and all
Loved
these people.
It. Great.
Like,
great,
like these movies were, like, good, trashy, like, Black films, I feel like, on the side, but it brought work for more Black people to do shit. Like, and I think that we need a kind of certain tunnel into these things. And, you know, Tyler Perry, he's one. He comes out with a lot of, and and for me, I'm not really of the Tyler persuasion, but there are a lot of people that are Black that are on TV because of Tyler Perry. And I'm not saying that he's doing this big song and dance for Black folks, but it's a lot of people being seen. And I'm like, okay, I'll take more people of color because they're in turn going to help bring more people of color. And I'm with that.
That's first of all, every Black show don't have to be first of fucking all. Only one thing can be number one. So while we all strive for excellence or whatever, there's only going to be one number one. That means it's okay to fill the other spots. That being said, like, your project doesn't have to be, you know, a halo from heaven, you know what I'm saying, for Black television. You can just make what feels good to you as the artist or whatever and put that out. That's why those shows that some people would consider to be filler shows, like Half and Half and all the shit you just talked about, like, that's why they were good to us. That's why those shows do well in syndication later, because you come home from school and watch them and figure out that this show used to be on that you didn't even pay attention to, and now you've fallen in love with
it.
You know, those shows live on forever. So,
and white people have tons of those shows.
And again, we don't even have to compete with that. Like,
not even
they
with
can
that,
have
but
that.
Just,
you know,
so
what I'm
we can
saying?
Have a full market.
Like, it's just okay to create things that just make sense.
Like My Wife and Kids. That was a good
show. Oh, my God.
That show was funny as hell.
Never
and that's
they
a show I didn't get
daughter.
Into until syndication.
Right.
That's true, because I never really got, I didn't get into it until recently, maybe the last 2 years or so.
And now you're like, damn,
hilarious.
This is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, maybe too, what makes the pressure different now is that there aren't as many Black shows.
Right.
So
people
when,
are fighting for that one.
Right. So when you have a certain amount of slots, then that's where the pressure kicks in of like, okay, you know, you're that one good Black show on this network. Like, what's the message?
Right,
and it, and
right.
then it's this pressure to have a message. Whereas if there were tons of Black shows, which kind of now I think that's where it's headed, because you're seeing more and more Black shows being announced every quarter at this point, then I think it'll be, like, way more open to it being filler shows or whatever shows, and I think people will probably be a little calmer. I think. I don't know. We'll see.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Away. Away offers high-quality luggage that is designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. Available in a variety of colors and four sizes, including carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines. The Away suitcase is lightweight and made with premium German Parley carbonate that's unrivaled in strength and impact resistance. Not to mention, it features a TSA-approved combination lock, four 360-degree spinner wheels, that's right, you're riding on spinners, and a patent-pending compression system to help overpackers. Better yet, both sizes of the carry-on are able to charge anything that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge will power your iPhone 5 times. That's a big deal, you guys. Traveling with that Away luggage, it's been so beneficial. You don't have to, you know, in the airport, there's like the good seats that you wait in that have the plugs for you to charge your stuff, and there's the shitty ones that don't. Usually in older airports, they need to be redone anyway, but that's another conversation for another time. The point is, it's been so convenient to have that Away luggage with that USB port in it. So you can try out Away for 100 days, vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it, and if at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. Shipping is free within the lower 48 states. And thanks to Away's lifetime warranty, If anything breaks, they'll fix it, so you've got nothing to lose. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/friendzone and use promo code FRIENDZONE during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/friendzone and promo code FRIENDZONE for $20 off your away suitcase.
Okay,
what do you
I have
think
a...
about love is, friend? Oh, my bad.
Oh, no,
go ahead. Finish the point.
I just had a really guilty pleasure to share.
What?
So one of the things that had to really break me out of being, like, judgy of TV and stuff like that was YouTube. And it's because so many things are put up on YouTube. That it's kind of like, okay, why would I watch this? It's garbage. This editing is bad. But then I think about shows that I actually watch on TV, and they're edited. Like, you know, for all the money that VH1 spends on certain things, it's like they stories still don't be edited right any fucking way. I'm not saying that they're, like, as awful as these shows that I watch on YouTube, but I'll be watching these shows on YouTube, and I'll be like, you know what? Everybody got to start somewhere. Like, everybody got to look back on their shit and be like, ooh, I can't even hear what the fuck they were saying here and work on their shit. And there are, like, little things in there I feel like are good buy-ins for people that maybe one day want to invest. Like, even if I feel like this content might be bad in this sort of light, there still lives a reason for it to be there outside of how I feel about it. And so I had to look at TV shows in the same light. I was like, all right, well, if I can look at things on YouTube like this, maybe I just need to look at my overall programming like this as well. I
that don't apply everything. To everything for y'all get started, too. That's just, he talking about what he saw. That don't apply to no Fox News. We don't need you.
No, right. No.
That don't apply to, you know, certain things we just don't need. Megyn Kelly. Right. See ya. Okay. Certain things we don't need, so let's keep it in context.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. You asked me what I think of love is. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest. It's entertaining enough for me to continue to watch it.
Yes.
That's for sure. It's like I watched it every week. When season 2 rolls around, because I think they got renewed, right?
They did.
They got renewed. I'm gonna watch it. So there's no way I can say it's a bad show.
Right.
Because obviously I like it. But it did have me wondering, like, when I was watching her kind of putting up with his personality, and I was like, obviously, I'll speak for myself. I saw a lot of myself in it, mm-hmm, my younger self, not now, but and it so I could connect. But it also made me roll my eyes because I was like, how many times have we seen this, though? Mm-hmm. Like this dynamic. Mm-hmm. So that's where I say that it felt old in the sense that it's like, I want to see something different, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what I loved about Pose, mm-hmm, where was it Ricky? God, help me remember their name. That they started dating.
Ricky's what's his name? Shit, the other guy in the house. With the D.
Ricky damn. And
the one that lives in the
house. I know who you're talking
We're
about.
We're all old as hell, but y'all know who I'm talking about. Blanca's son in the show and his boyfriend. I just can't remember their names right now.
Ricky and
Damon.
Damon.
Yeah, he was started with a D,
right? Yeah. You know,
what I loved
name.
About Ricky and Damon was that there was that element of, he's going to be a fuck boy. Like, we know it's going to happen. And then guess what?
Damon wasn't a fuck boy.
He was not a fuck boy.
You
knew it. You saw it coming. And then all of a sudden, he actually wasn't. They went to the museum. It was actually, which one was Ricky, the son, right?
No, Damon is the son.
Damon, okay. Yeah. It was Damon who kind of like fucked him over. Remember when he left him in the pizza shop? Mm-hmm. And we thought it was going to be in the reverse. So to me, that is cool because it's like, oh, shit. It's a paradigm shift because all of a sudden what you expected is like entertainment and is always kind of the formula of dynamics. That's just not what happened. Mm-hmm. And so I want to see that.
And also to your point, you know, it was big hoopla that it was a positive, like, you know, love story between two gay men, not crappy shit.
Exactly. It wasn't the usual. And right. So, you know, and obviously people say, oh, but you guys have rom-coms rom-coms, like, there's always the sweet, every movie J-Lo's been in, where there's like the sweet ending, and you're excited because it's like, you know what's going to happen, happily ever after.
Well, except one of the movies she was in,
Enough.
Oh, no, I know what you're, oh, God.
You telling me Enough?
Oh,
or you saying
no.
The movie
no,
Enough?
The movie.
Oh.
No, not oh. That one.
Oh, oh, oh.
Come on, oh, no.
Anything for Selena.
Go ahead.
Tanto amor. But I guess that desire for seeing more of a range,
yes, friend,
of storytelling and uh-huh. lifestyles and outcomes will happen as there are more opportunities for shows to be created. So maybe that's what it is. And I think about it even in music. Like the other day, I was sitting with a friend who's working on a project, and I was helping write. And there was a part of me, like, we started automatically writing about, like, heartache. Because it was just a reflex. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm not even heartbroken. Like, why is this a reflex? For me, thinking, like, what do people want to hear? You know? And so automatically, I was like, we were just writing the saddest fucking verse. And I was like, yo, I don't even feel this way right now. Though. I don't want to write
but
this.
But why is my interest peaked?
Yeah, like, okay, everybody leaned in.
Ooh, I bet you that shit was good. Right. Like,
no, but here's the thing, and this ties into my other question, where it's like, obviously, and just to tie it together, I have heartache I could write about, but do we need more songs about heartache?
Right, totally get your point.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I could give you my perspective, and it'll be a great song, but like, do we need another one?
Right.
Did we need Love Is? No.
What the world needs now.
But I took, no, because deadass, it took me a long time to start Love Is. Like, everybody
it
started watching
it.
It
took me a long time, too.
It took me a
long. It did. For real, it took me a long time to start watching it, too. Same thing. I told you guys. Mm-hmm. Remember, I had to binge and catch up.
Yeah,
same.
You are the person, XD, who made me watch it.
Same.
Yeah, because I was angrily going off about it on Instagram.
Yes. I was like, well, let me see what this is all about. And I'm not gonna lie, when it was over, I was like, so like, what?
Yeah,
what was this about? Yeah. Like, what was this so about then?
I think the part of it is like, now I can watch the show because I'm like, well, I know how it ends. These niggas end up together.
Well, right, no, right. Maybe not, which brings me to my motherfucking point.
But you see them together in the confessionals.
That's what that means, because guess what that means? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means Marjorie and Broccoli. What's her name?
Marjorie
and Broccoli, yes. And her husband. What's her name?
Jesus. Mara
Brock-a-kill. I'm just playing. No disrespect. I definitely know your name and love your work. It just was funny. Now, but. Guess what? She's a genius. Her and her husband are geniuses because that show has a second life.
Right.
They literally can at any minute flip the show and show the current state of their relationship. Them old niggas can get divorced. You know, teeth and tongue fall out sometimes.
Well, they did. Well,
they can get divorced later in life. That happens all the time. All of the time.
Right. Yeah.
So I like the fact that as writers, they left themselves that room to literally, we could watch this show and be so excited to learn more about neurological UNICEF. What's their names? Neri and Yasir. We could definitely want to know more about their story now, and they could do like a jump. Boom. How old them people look to y'all? How much of a difference in age do it look? I don't want to be rude.
And that was the other thing, too. I was like, how
10 year
old
gap.
Are,
10
like,
year
how
jump,
far
maybe.
Is this? Because they were in the 90s.
It
my parents.
Was 96.
Were, but
this
now
was
they like gray.
2018. 17, 18. So
yeah, that wasn't realistic.
So it's a 22 year. Because they've been in real life, they've been together for 20 years. So that's where they're going.
I don't know.
Because it's 70% based off of their actual life. So. Yeah, so it's about a 25, almost 25 year difference.
Okay, so they could do a 25 year jump. You get what I'm saying? We could have a whole new show. We were sick of that shit and the problematic stuff in the 90s. Now, you know, two old black people that's been in a relationship for years, they could turn this into a dark comedy because each other out.
God.
Like, this could go anywhere, so shout out. Okay.
As long as they bring Loretta Devine back every time.
Yes. Wasn't she amazing?
That was.
But she's always amazing.
Her.
And you know what? Jade had a point about we are watching through a lens of being in our 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things about it that are going to irritate me differently than a 20-something-year-old who may be going through that right now. Mm-hmm. But here's my concern in watching it, because I wonder if I was watching that in my 20s and going through that, I would have probably. Maybe I would have considered sticking things out that I had no business sticking things out.
I feel like I definitely would. Well,
I don't know if I was that dumb, but
yeah,
you know, you never know.
The shit I did stick out.
Are you proposing to me? No, nigga, I'm not proposing to you. I'm telling you what I just told you.
Because it's showing it. Remember, we were saying it's like broke boy propaganda.
Oh, it totally is.
That's
it
what it felt like.
And when that
like,
nigga was mad that
he don't have
she
shit
went on
going
the trip,
on, but you never know where he's going to be in 5 years.
When that nigga was mad that she went on a trip, I'm sitting up here thinking, like, you just mad because you wasn't going to be able to go and compete with that. Like,
speaking of that trip and speaking of the haves and have nots, for like the first three episodes, I kept thinking that the guy that was, she was with that was gay was Jeffrey off the haves and have nots.
Me too.
I was squinting for like 3 hours,
it wasn't
y'all.
Though?
Like, wait a minute,
it's
like, is that
no,
him?
No,
it's not. No, it's not. But they you're talking about
they
doppelganger.
They could be in the movie together.
I will say, when he took her to that trap, when he was about to move into that trap apartment, where the niggas was playing video games, I cried laughing. I cried because I know at least 17 niggas who live like that.
But my
right
favorite
now.
Part was his roommate was like, "We charge extra for the drama." That was a fucking classic line.
It was so black people because, you know, black people stay clowning and they went outside. He was like, "We need another minute to talk." He was like, "He don't even live here. They already got drama." I was like, "Yes, I love us for real."
Maybe they should add Monique. Monique would be great on Love.
As
oh my gosh.
Monique could be. I'm gonna tell you who.
How
Monique
about we
could
play
be.
This game? Who would you add to Love Is to Shake Up?
Yasir goes
two?
To the welfare.
Yeah.
Wow.
Monique could have played that guy who was at the impound or whatever it was, and they had took his car and
oh
he was trying
God.
To get the money. Monique could have played
that.
They could have turned that and developed that.
Dustin. That white neighbor who found his car in front of her
Monique.
House.
Oh, yeah.
Monique should have been the
in
neighbor.
In a house coat. Out there in a house coat.
Well, baby, I think he's
her
homeless.
Her nosy ass.
Lee Daniels,
the name to my
you
love.
Shut up.
Not love is.
Look, when she rolled down the window and got in his car, that would have been perfect for Monique.
That's right.
You're doing it.
What are you doing? Drive the car down the street. Send it out here on the street in front of Yuri's house. What are you doing? Drive the car.
And honestly, that
on
blew
it.
Me too. Like, okay. Her neighbor found his car down the block.
That's
my
also
mind.
Because she's white, and you know white people don't mind their business.
Also, I feel like they just have to
and
hurry
she
up
knew
and
his
get
name
because
she opened
story.
The window and was all up in
she
his
was like,
papers.
I don't even know his last name. She's like, Omar.
You see? They don't mind their business.
And then on the other side of the spectrum, there's random acts of flyness.
Yes.
Which to all me is a show
shit.
That.
Why are we on that show? I feel like we miscast
Yo,
it.
When I see Miss Honey, I thought about you.
Wait, is that the
I know
everybody
you hear
dies?
Me calling you Miss Honey?
Miss Honey.
But then that's a show when I first saw the ads for it on the train, I was like, okay, what is this about? Random acts of flyness. I looked it up. Was trying to read some descriptions about what it was going to be about. And it seemed, as XD put it, it seemed dank. Like, I was like, this is going to be mystical and kind of druggy.
I mean, it is.
It is.
It's not kind of druggy.
Right.
And then when it came on, it absolutely was not what I expected at all. I didn't know it was going to be vignettes. It's very abstract. Yeah. Well, XD calls it Afropunk Live.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I hate you so much.
It's Afropunk Live. Yeah.
But I will say it what is. I appreciate about it is that I've never seen anything like it.
Yo, when I
any,
tell you,
I have like the. Have y'all caught up? Because I don't want to spoil anything.
I just haven't seen like the last episode.
I'm not caught up, but I've started.
Okay, where there's a scene where the girl's natural hair gets arrested.
Yes,
yo, that shit
that was Emmy
yo,
award
that shit
winning.
I was crying.
And when old girl came in there with the leave-in,
right? Yes.
She's like, "Where you get this? How you get this in here?
Got this in commissary."
But what killed me is how she was combing it in.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that show is out of this world. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. I wouldn't know how to
that
describe
show
it.
Under the Donald Glover type shows, because that's some shit he would do.
And that's a good show to throw in the mix. Then you have shows like Atlanta that they're kind of like, how would you even describe what this is, you know?
Right.
As
especially
far as the
episode.
Black experience. Like, how do you explain what it is?
Yep.
And so,
like
you
the
know,
Drake episode of Atlanta when
no,
girl
that,
went,
oh yeah,
at the house,
yeah, I wouldn't know how to. Yeah,
any of the Atlanta episodes where they have like a skit where there's like a commercial or some sort, like
those
they
are the funniest.
Like, and even in Insecure when they had the I hate slavery and all that shit. Like,
oh, the
like,
show within a show.
Yeah, like those like little asides. Like that shit is dope. And then they'll like
let
make
a
it
bitch read.
Come on, let a bitch read. Bitch read.
Even this week, I'm sorry, y'all, but this past episode where she was like talking to herself in the mirror, and she was like, yeah, going on, and the mirror was like,
when I tell you, I was man down. I was like, oh my God, this is me. I just love the fact that there's so many different like meaningful, cool shit that comes out on the side, and they blend it all together. It's like a melting pot of like, all right, y'all, they only gonna give us this one episode, so let's do as much shit as we can in it. Like, that's how it feels, and there's always like some message, and it's like message.
What
like,
was
I got
the message
it.
Though in that Michael Jackson episode of Atlanta?
Oh my. I was talking more so about
don't stop till you get enough. That was the message.
That but that's true though, because in the very last episode, I don't know if there's any more of this season of Random Acts of Flyness. So like, the way they describe it, because I had to look, because I was like, I don't know how to describe this.
I
shit.
Know, same.
So it's defined as a variety show that caters to what a black utopian society would be.
Uh-huh.
And okay. So if you never watched it, it's like it's these skits based on tackling all these social justice issues that we face as black people. So like bad hair, good hair. There was one real triggering episode with the mm-hmm. with the family member mm-hmm. and being sexually assaulted.
Oh,
in the
yes.
lineup. Yeah.
In the lineup. That was wild. With the black girl from The Center. That's a really good show.
And the black girl from Pariah.
Yeah. You know, I stopped watching.
Oh,
it
gets better.
Yeah. And Whoopi Goldberg was on it.
Kim Wayans.
No, but no. She did real good in that movie.
She did.
Black girl from Pariah.
She did.
The, the girl, the main girl.
Oh, not Kim Wayans.
No. Yo, okay. Whoopi Goldberg took
Kim
me
Funyuns.
Out.
Where's your pussy?
Kim Funyuns.
Where her ass was talking to her about that shit, and old girl had like, and you just heard the little noise. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
She took
and Whoopi
her,
Goldberg was sitting there with like killing it, just like oh. Girl, this is running the mill.
Yeah, it was.
It's a
it
great
was,
show.
But the very last episode of episode 5, they spent, and it was an extended episode. They spent 37 minutes,
which is what I need to get to.
37 minutes. Calling white people the devil. And I'm not even being hyperbolic or being anything. Literally, they do that. And it's to your point, Asante, and this idea, like, this might be the last one that we get. So we might as well just throw this shit in there just in
like,
case.
Like, that's how...
Y'all are killing me.
Because it's like, ooh, they don't go give us niggas no damn airtime no more. No,
look, that's how that shit feel. Like, when they be doing the news reports and it be some black shit, or even how they'll do, like, the random asides, like, Alton's gun didn't kill him. Like, I'd be like, oh,
blackface.
Shit. Like...
Blackface.
Like, I'm just going to throw this in here at me like that.
Blackface.
But how do y'all feel about these shows that are a little more abstract and not, you know, so explicit in their, like, storyline?
I think it's wonderful.
Well, I mean, that one might
yeah.
be.
Yeah, I buy my music with the sticker, personally.
Yeah, that's
but,
the only
but
one I
you
like.
Know, but
like
I like
shows
that.
Like Atlanta and Random Acts of Flyness.
We need it. It's fresh, and it stimulates the creative minds of people who are watching it. So yeah. All it does is foster even more and more new dope content from people who see it and know that there's an unorthodox or a different way of doing things.
Right.
So I think it's healthy for these types of shows to exist. And I think it's great. I told you my interest is to be interested. So I love the fact that there's a variety. You know, I like
I
you know
that you
variety
in, like, phrases.
Thank you so much.
You're like a preacher, but like,
but with not mine is like the Michael Jordan pants, right?
Yeah.
And the whole church part.
What did you think of Random Acts of Flyness?
It's fly as fuck, and I would actually like to participate.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Which is why I always was like, why didn't anybody ever, why aren't we in it?
I feel like we know some people on there.
I definitely do.
A ton of people.
I wish I was the Everybody Dies lady, though. I could have played the hell out of that role.
You
could
have.
Yo,
I see that.
You absolutely could have. The way she started going up, I see you just going in and owning that shit. Yes.
Random Acts of Flyness. I want to play the Everybody Dies lady next season.
I feel that it's important. Like,
she was the Oracle too.
I feel like it's important for shows like this to exist only because they're so fly and fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not told in like an irresponsible, well, we just gonna keep laughing because there's like there's a lot of that shit. And
what's wrong with that?
And there's nothing wrong with that. I watch more of that and I don't mind a lot of that. I actually picked up a new trash show today.
What's that?
Chasing
Dallas?
No, I've already picked that one up, and we'll revisit that. Okay. What's the show that comes on own, and it's the woman doing the business owner? She's the Black Tabitha
Mind
Coffee.
Your Business.
Mind Your Business. Mm-hmm.
She's great.
Black Tabitha Coffee. We'll double back to that.
A Black Tabitha Coffee?
Yes. And she's actually helping people with their businesses, and they're black people.
She breeds them.
And I love it.
I need to check it out. Okay.
But one thing that I do like about Random Acts of Flatness is that it's one of those shows that where it's so cool, but it's still so intelligently told.
Right.
Like Atlanta. Like Atlanta is really smart, and a lot of the messaging is messaging that is palatable for white people. Not that we care or give a fuck about that shit, but it's still that it still shows our experiences, like told through black voices. Like, all right, nigga, so I do want to talk to you as a white person about this shit, but you can just watch this and understand. Like the episode of Atlanta where the white dude is saying nigga, but then he ain't say it around another set of people. Right. Like, that's a very real thing because, you know, you'll see white people, and I guess they'll think that they can use it around you. You got to be like, don't say that shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? And they're like, oh, sorry, bro. Like, and I'm like, yeah, you thought your ass was going to get away with that shit because you say that shit. I thought it was very important because these are things that happen. And Random Acts of Flatness, I hate to ruin it for people that haven't watched, but if you haven't watched, please watch past the first episode. The first episode gets a little dark, but watching the second to the third episode. Anyway, I like how they did the conversation about masculinity and, you know, people just being able to give each other a hug.
That was my favorite.
And even talking how men catcalling and how they talk to women and shit like that. Like all that, like all of those conversations are conversations that I don't know really exist in the straight world or how they exist, because they might only see it through a specific lens and not see how problematic that shit is. So for it to have been in a writer's room with all black people to be discussed, or however it was, but I'm sure like black women was like, oh, and we gotta make sure we tell niggas this. I think it's dope. Yeah. It's dope that we have a place for that.
Yeah, I like that. I like when they did the video game.
Stop looking at me, Jade.
I like when they did the video game.
If the writer's room is all black, did that mean all the ink pens came from like credit unions?
Oh my.
Banks.
A whole bunch of green pens.
Carter Federal. Carver Federal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And some lollipops.
I think it's fair too, which is why I'm like this even with like beauty products. Well, I don't like saying that I don't like something.
Right.
Because I'd rather say it just wasn't for
it
me.
Ain't for me. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think of shows like The Wire. There are people, I love The Wire, okay?
The Wire was a relic.
And the crazy thing is there's so many shows like Power or where it's like the same fucking shit, the same hood, you know, kingpin that life gets too big, he can't handle it, he loses trust in people, he gets killed by his best friend. Like, we've seen it how many times at this point? But I love it.
It's Shakespeare. Hooked. Black Shakespeare.
I'm hooked. You know,
niggas
like I
love money and violence, friend.
It's true.
And because it's a good ass show.
I mean, based on the title alone.
All of us
like,
watch
I mean,
what is it, Locked Up?
Love After Lock Up.
That's just great.
But someone else might be like, this is terrible.
They're stupid.
They don't get
like
it.
To have it.
they don't understand.
It's terrible messaging. You know what I mean? And so, remember.
It is highlighting the problems of our derelicts of society.
Kids, we're moving to California. I was like, she's just gonna move her kids to California
to
for
freedom.
A nigga that just got out of jail. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Even that episode, her poor kids.
Yeah.
I'll give you
$20
if you get
off the car. She had them on the
beach. Baby nut.
Yeah, baby nut.
If you would have just sat there and ate your rice, baby nut.
Oh my god.
And I remember when Atlanta, and even to this day, there are a lot of people that are like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
But everything ain't for you.
Right. It's only one way to get it, and that's if you watch Dumb Dumb.
Right.
But everything ain't for everybody.
Yeah, and then decide if it ain't for you.
This week's episode of The Friend Zone is also brought to you by Capari. Capari's coconut deodorant is aluminum-free deodorant that doesn't suck. Capari's deodorant takes care of smell without plugging up your sweat glands and messing with your body's natural patterns. It doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue, just the subtle scent of coconut milk. Most importantly, it works. It fights odors with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and is free of silicones, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda. It doesn't have baking soda. Oh, it does have baking soda.
Baking soda.
The blackness in me just jumped out because you know if it has baking soda, it works. It's gotten a lot of love from editors at Cosmo and People, and there are thousands of five-star reviews on Capari's website from people who are now coconut converts. Capari offers a money-back guarantee,
so there's no reason not to try. But hurry, they can barely keep it in stock. Campari has a very, very delicious scent. There's nothing that I love more than the smell of that coconut milk. And they don't just do deodorant. They have facial products as well, so they're very diverse. And like I said before, my blackness jumped out when I read baking soda because I used to put baking soda on my toothbrush as a child, use it to brush my teeth. You know, you put baking soda in a hair cleaning, a hair cleansing regimen. You can use baking soda for many things. And now it's in this Campari deodorant, so you know it works. So say aloha to Campari by going to CapariBeauty.com/friendzone to make the safe switch today and see how you can save $5 off your first order. That's Campari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/friendzone. CapariBeauty.com/friendzone. Get you some.
Now, another thing that people need to pay attention to, speaking of love after lockup, this is random, but it's a random act of podcasting, right? So why... The girl, the black Mormon, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's black people living in
Oregon,
right?
By the way.
Random acts of podcasting.
Hey, and now, featuring Jaden XD.
Yes.
So, they're black Mormons
black
living
Mormon
in Oregon, right? Did they live in Idaho?
Utah.
Peace pipe, crack pipe, tomato,
wow.
Tomato, same thing.
Not
so,
me.
So my thing.
I'm sorry, I have to give a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
That's from our friend Mark.
Oh,
I
no.
love Mark.
Mark yeah, said, Mark said,
when you light your cocaine on fire,
yeah, that's crack, baby.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Mark.
Oh, my God.
Point is, why aren't you hairstylist? Shekinah, you know what I'm saying? You need a job. You need something to figure out. Why aren't they traveling to Oregon?
She got that white lady doing that weave.
We sat there for how many episodes, Jay?
And we're subjected to this leave out.
We're subjected to tracks being loose. Everything.
That was so irritating.
The tracks was hanging off of her braid. It looked like a shower curtain. You know how shower, you know, like the rings at the top of a shower curtain on the shower ride? That's what the track looked like hanging off of her braid in the top of her head.
Yo.
She didn't bump the ends.
Oh,
yo,
she didn't do
bump
nothing.
The ends. Like,
she didn't bump the leave out.
Yeah, at all.
Ooh. And that's how you know. That's how you know somebody don't have no black friends, because they leave out is raggedy.
Well, I mean, she did.
Get the bag, y'all.
She had that one black friend, but she hated her.
Right.
Like, didn't she stitch on her?
Yeah,
and she had her hair like
her.
Her best friend had her hair like the Jeffersons. Mm. So the point is, y'all black stylists, there's a market. Y'all need to go out there, you know what I'm saying, and just
like
hook these towns
other...
up.
Yep.
You think them white women wouldn't be sitting there if you come out there telling them, I might not be Tokyo styles, but I can be Chinatown styles. Yeah. You can
you
go
know,
out there and do weaves
you know
and wigs and shit. Come on.
You know what's
sorry.
Crazy?
This is an opportunity.
No, it's yeah. true.
No, but you know what's crazy, though? Because you know Rachel Dolezal said that same thing. God.
What did she say?
That one person said, she was like, you know, through all this, I never lost a hair client. To let you know that there's always going to be somebody.
Wait, when did
Yo,
she
you
say that?
In her documentary called The Racial Divide, which is amazing branding, by
yeah.
the way.
Really shout was. Out to whoever did that.
Netflix, y'all did
That's
that.
A hell of a
Hire
name.
All of us.
That's a hell of a name.
But... She said, I never lost a client. I was like, you
wow.
know, that's big dick
I seen
energy.
Her in the bathroom floor, like, cutting her braids out of her hair or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo,
she
was. I did see that clip.
It was
yeah.
like Cranes
and
in the Sky.
Catchy Diallo was cutting her free,
Catchy.
Box braids.
And Catchy Diallo, that's
Catchy
her that's
Diallo
her name.
Was cutting her box braids out
Nekashi
of her hair.
Nekashi 69. That's Rachel Dolezal, Nekashi 69.
Nuri Yassir, Shine Your Light on the World, was cutting her braids out
wow.
of her
hair. Wow. Yeah.
I want to read to be free, to be free, to be free.
Man.
Now here's another question I have.
Yes. Oh.
So you got the green light to have your own show.
Mm-hmm.
They are down over this.
Right.
You have the green light to have your own show. How much will you consider the sensitivity? Where the world is now, will you take that into consideration when writing your show?
Yes.
Like, will you change how certain characters speak in order to honor and respect and have, like, inclusivity? Like, let's say, for example, if you're doing a show about the hood you're in, Will you add, you know, white people in it just to make it more universal? Remember that happened with girls where people were pissed because she didn't have black people. But I'm like, she probably don't have black friends. Right.
I don't know any black people that would have been friends with Lena Dunham.
Little critter.
I don't know. Honestly,
I remember she randomly threw in Childish Gambino. Do you remember that?
I mean, that fit.
Ooh.
Did it? Does it?
I don't know any white people that would be friends with Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham is just she's not.
She
like,
aggravated.
There's, you don't. Let me stop because I'm about to get in trouble. So
if
let
you
me
give
just
a
stop.
Mouse a cookie.
There's no reason. You don't consider Lena Dunham and see like all these reasons to be her friend. You know what I'm saying? I just put it like that. There's not really a buy-in there.
Right.
You know what I'm
if you give a moose a muffin, nobody's going to be friends with Lena Dunham. Nobody in this whole little critter.
So, yeah, I don't really think. That's why the whole girl thing, I think, kind of like blew over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, it became not girls, it was girl please after a minute. Anyway, I'm sorry, friend, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
Who will you modify your experience in your show to be more inclusive and to respect
if it made sense to the story? Yes, I would, because I feel like it's important to do that. And I guess that's where, even though I talked all that shit, I definitely would be considerate of things like that in writing a show. Because I would want naturally to do things that were for the greater good. So if seeing things represented on TV was the greater good, then yeah, I would include certain people. And plus, you can't have a hood without the Chinese lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a bunch of people you have to include in a hood story. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I'd write in some gentrifiers.
Oh, goodness.
Sure
from a
would.
Comedic perspective, it's gold. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You definitely have to include other people.
I thought it was dope for Random Acts of Flightness that, you know, they made sure they had queer, that was a storyline that they told. I also think that it was dope how, like, we even talked about, you know, rape culture and how that was on there and, like, niggas apologizing and learning how to apologize.
That was a heavy episode.
It was, but it was very important. And now back to the apology. Yeah. And to see people getting up and leaving and shit, like, that's so real, and it's hard to have conversations like that or even figure out, like, how to go about doing them. I thought it was dope that they, like, had these things. And it was kind of like, all right, well, I guess on one hand, they might say, oh, this is damaging to the man or, you know, black male, and we should be all together, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't done in, like, a bashful way. Like, I feel like they were very smart in how they include it. And so in whatever story I decide to tell, I do want to make sure I include people that can help me gain perspective and share perspective. But I don't want to necessarily water that down to make everybody feel comfortable. Because not everybody's going to feel the same way about your art anyway. So if it moves people in different ways, then I'll just have to, you know, I hate that we even have cancel culture, because one of the ways that I might have to learn is, you know, through my mistakes. So
fuck,
I just hope
that
people are accepting when that time comes.
Cancel them.
I mean, I know a lot of our peers that are currently working on projects, that's always at the forefront, you know, of their work and the board meetings and the writing process. It's thinking like, ooh, this might not hit, you know, it's a different time. I probably shouldn't say this, even if it's something that maybe the character in your life really did say. But like, can you have that character say that? Mm. You know, and I think, imagine if I did a movie about my life, what the dudes on the bench say, like, half of that shit's not gonna fly. Like, it just won't. And it might cause problems. And then you could also argue, well, this is the experience. You know what I mean? This is what happened. Right. And I'm just trying to kind of put a lens on that. But I mean, if it offends people, can you still do that?
Yes.
Yes.
Because
that's
actually
life.
All the more reason to do it on a petty note.
I honestly feel like everybody is going to be offended about something. Like you literally won't be able to do anything without somebody coming. Like, you can look at, there's not one video on YouTube, and maybe there is, and it's like published somewhere, but I don't think there's one video on YouTube that has zero thumbs down. Like, it can be like,
I don't think that's
great
possible.
Shit.
Well, people also like to troll.
Yeah. But even in trolling, like, that's just hating. Like, you can't troll in a positive way. Like, you got a thumbs down this shit just to say you the one that did it. Like, you don't actually dislike this shit. Like, that's fucked up and stupid. So I feel like if I'm going to do some shit, I'm going to have to make sure that this is some shit that I like. And I feel like, you know, like, I want to do it. And if people are saying, oh, no, you a trash nigga, da, 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 then, you know, that might be true because of whatever my experience was, but this is what I wanted to do. And then maybe people will think piece of shit and say, well, it was trash because it was his experience. And, like, poor example, because I can't really think of a good one. Frank Ocean. You know, like, a lot of people didn't really like, what was the album?
Endless and Blonde.
Yeah, they weren't fucking with Blonde for the longest, and then all of a sudden there was like a wave where Blonde was the shit. And then people were like, oh, like, I'm fucking with this. Like, I feel like sometimes where people are at, they don't get into certain things, which is why, perfect example, friend, Claus. Like, you have said that Claus is just not for you.
Right, and I tried. And I really tried. I tried so hard because you guys love it so much.
You did. And you know what?
And that's why I find it fascinating because even online, you see all the comments. I'm like, this show's got to be really good. And I started watching it, and I just couldn't connect.
But you have to, you're just like Crystal, and that's why I love y'all, because when y'all don't like some shit, in my mind, I'd be like, okay, damn, like, I wonder what it, like, I'd be trying to figure out what it is you don't like, and then figure out, like, you know, ways to connect you to what it is you don't like, and maybe see if you can get into it somehow, whatever. But one of the things about Claus was, I remember watching that shit and being like, yo, this is some hick town, like, I don't know what the fuck this is. But once I realized what purpose it really served, like, I was like, oh, this is like a TNT, you know, late night drama. And like, normally I wouldn't watch some late night drama, but I did watch late night drama, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And I'm just a Niecy Nash fan, so I was a little biased from that, but I just had to keep getting into it. But to the point of coming back in, people having to like water down their art, I think that sometimes people feel like they'll need to tell a certain story, or like in Claus per se, it's like backwoods Florida. It wouldn't be an authentic story if there weren't like trash white people told in that story, or even trash black people told in that story. Because I thought there's like an episode where one of the people have to, they're sitting with a con artist, and she was a black woman. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, black folks scam. This is Florida, cool. But a lot of people wouldn't want to touch some of those areas because they feel like, oh, well, we don't want to depict a black woman in a certain light. Da-da-da-da. I think that just everything is told in a certain way, and it's good.
Yeah, and I mean, that brings a good point, too. Would you be afraid of, like, depicting people in certain ways, even if that was your experience, but just because you don't want to put that on TV again?
Yes.
Like a crackhead, you know what I mean? Or I know there's certain things where people are like, oh, we've seen this. Why does the woman have to be a crackhead? Or da, da, da.
I would do it. Well, I would think about that. It goes so deep for me, but like there's certain things that I just wouldn't do on the strength of like my pride for being, you know, a black man in America or whatever. So there's certain things that I wouldn't do. I think where I would make the compromise is I might tell the part of the story through comedy.
Okay.
Like instead of just infusing like the lady at the post office being a bitch, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to put like, you know,
that angry black woman.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I would make her like a really funny character.
Okay. That's a cool way to do it, I think. To play into the same characters but kind of flip it with humor. That always works, though.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? That way it's there, but it's still not something that stings or something that is detrimental. I guess that would be my concern. Not so much offending people, but doing something, you know, creating something that was detrimental. That would be my fear.
Right.
So as long as it wasn't damaging, you know what I mean, I would go for it, shit, because it's got to be good. I didn't told you all that. So
are you guys excited to create in this climate?
Very much so.
Yeah.
It hasn't brought upon doubt or fear or none of that because of the heightened cultural sensitivity?
No, I think maybe imposter syndrome is the only thing that's gotten me. But other than that, no. I think all of us in this room are smart enough and savvy enough to work around that.
Right.
So I don't think that's a hindrance. And I'm excited to do it. It gives more of a challenge. It's also like, you know, it's also clearing out a bunch of trash people and making waves for us who can really fuck up some shit, you know what right. I mean?
And plus, I run with scissors anyway, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's, you know, I like the thrill, the chase, all that shit. So I actually like the challenge of being faced with that. Like, okay, so if we do get blessed with the opportunity to create like that, how will I make sure that my shit is good and authentic but still does serve a purpose? And I know I said I just want to be entertaining. I do just want to be entertained. But if I was creating, that's me speaking as a viewer. Speaking as a creator, yeah. You know, although I know I would have the responsibility of entertaining people, I also damn sure would have the responsibility of providing a service of some sort. Right. You know what I mean? And I'm the type of person who would want whatever my work is to be remembered anyway. So I want to make sure that it was, you know, I guess substantive beyond just being entertaining. And so I would go the extra mile. What I wouldn't compromise is curse words. And the reason is because they're funny whether you hear them or not.
So then you need to be on HBO.
Or,
or Showtime. Or
I can be on TV and we can make the beep funny. Because I think it's so funny when they beep curse words. I always tell people
what the beep is always funny.
It's so funny. So I feel like I could use that. You know what I mean?
It's the beep or the hard ER.
See, for me, when I think about if I really had the opportunity, let's say, and could kind of dig back to writing about my life, I think about, like, oh, there's so much tragedy. Like, would I want to bring that, you know, like, would I want to bring that to the table? Because it would literally be another version of The Wire with just a female lead.
That would be lit.
I'm about to, I was about to say, Fran, I'm not trying to, you know, take away, but that sounds kind of hard. Like, I watched that.
Super lit.
And The Wire,
like, y'all
is legendary.
Not tired of shows about the project?
Just let me write it.
Mine would be a dark comedy. Yeah, it'd be a dark comedy, like, so about my life with all the tragedy.
But just make it funny?
Just make it funny, because terrible shit happens all the time, and sometimes it's funny.
Yeah.
Horrible shit happens every day, B.
Yeah.
True.
And now I'm curious, what shows do you guys think are doing it right? That you are just like, this would be the show I would have if I could.
Ooh.
This would be mine if I could have this damn show.
Is it a current show? Or
no, it could be just any show that you wish you could have created and been behind. Because love what it represents, how it was shot, just everything about it.
Atlanta, hands down for me. I wish I would have been part of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Just because I loved everything about every episode and every season. Like, with the exception of that horror episode, that's literally the only one. Outside of that one episode, like, every episode had, like, something of value to me as, like, a person that had been in Atlanta, as an industry person, like, dealing with different sorts of levels in my life. And I thought to myself, damn, it would have been dope to be part of this somehow. Like, whether I was one of the actors next to Paperboy, who I think is a really, really dope character, because you never just get you some regular-ass black man,
that's what I said.
You know, talked about through some shit, but shot through a really cool lens. And he still is just a regular-ass nigga. It's not like he's just this black man that they have to have on TV, and he plays this, you know, well-spoken character. He literally is just a nigga in Atlanta, you know, that raps, and this is the bullshit he go through, and he be geeking on the weekends and hoes and shit. And I thought that was funny as hell. Nigga got robbed, like... You don't see these people telling stories about rappers. It's all glamorous and shit. This nigga, like, got robbed on the show, and I was like, this is cool as fuck. Like ain't nobody going to get played like that.
They had him walking through the woods.
Yeah. Even before he got robbed, when he was with the hood rat girl that was a social media influencer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way that they, like, related his shit in Atlanta to, like, shit today and how people look at relationships and shit like that, I was like, I wish I could have been part of all of this.
Right.
All of this.
Who else?
Does that have to be a black show?
No, literally, whatever show.
That would I just had to...
What your ass was going to
say? No, this is a really hard question because I often think about this a lot. It's two of them. Damn, I'm trying to pick which one.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm going to name two shows.
Okay, great. So I'm going to name two. The first one is Living Single.
Oh, yes. Really? Cute.
Yeah, Living Single, such a dynamic show. It's like... Today could come on and I still cackle, and I have seen every episode at least 37 times. Just the dynamics of, like, these four black women who are just making it in this fictional-ass New York, because I don't know where you can live in that kind of environment for that amount of whatever they were making. And the men were secondary. Like, that's awesome. Like, go away. But I think, as far as drama, I wish I would have been able to create this show called The Big C.
Oh, yes.
Oh, shit. I love that show.
Kefir and I used to watch the show all the time.
I love that show.
And I like, if you don't know what it is, The Big C is starred Laura Linney, and it was about, in the very first episode, she gets diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the whole series is about her, well, like, fuck it, I'm going to live my life until I die, because there's no turning back. And that's what she did.
That show was good.
Excellent. Shout out to Gabourey Sidibe.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, shit. Ooh.
That was a good show. And I love human, like, that's what I gravitate toward. I think that's why I like being Mary Jane and even Love Is, or things like that, like where I can connect to the human aspect of it, like, or even like This Is Us. Like, those are the type of shows that I gravitate to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think The Wire is just hands down, yes. Like, because it's just, there was like comedy in it a little mm-hmm. bit, but then obviously there were parts that had you in tears, like mm-hmm. when certain characters got killed that we had been attached to for like seasons. You had massive characters like Omar.
Yes.
You know, so I connect to that. I don't know that there's a show that I was as affected by. I can't think of one. But I also fear being so heavy-handed with the tragedies and the hood stories, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lightheartedness and playfulness I would still kind of want to add, and it makes me think of a show like, remember How to Make It in America?
Yes, oh, yeah. Loved that yes. show.
You see how it was still like
with
it showed.
Victor Rasuk.
Yes. Mm. Oh, he was so cute.
Yes.
But you see how that show, there was like a playfulness to it, mm-hmm. an airiness to it. They still allowed room for like their struggle and their fights, their friendship crashing, them being broke. Remember all the different hustles he had. Mm-hmm. Let's make the jeans. The jeans don't work. They had the Rasta drinks.
The catering job.
The catering
Somebody
job.
Somebody going yeah. in place for him.
That
His
was
uncle was
life.
About to beat him.
Complex life. That's what it was.
Literally what it was. So I feel like, you know, something in between that, where what I am learning, and even as I'm getting older, is, you know, you can have depth. And you can also still laugh. And I kind of want to be able to play in both of those territories, if that makes sense.
That's real.
Yeah. Jade?
Boondocks.
Yes. I'm storming at the Boondocks.
Don't talk to them niggas over there.
Boondocks was a genius show. Uncle Ruckus, I wish yes. And it's everything that I believe in life, so.
Yes, the Boondocks was genius.
The R. Kelly episode where oh it was God. Like. Talking, you know, like, you nigga, really niggas, like, y'all are really getting ready to glorify this man all because he makes a nice beat. You know what I'm saying? Every episode is just, I yes. love the Boondocks. I wish I could.
The lawyer, the when he went to jail, and his ass was, he was like, I don't want to go to jail. I'm scared of rape.
Fleece Johnson, when they brought Fleece Johnson back, like,
the booty warrior.
The fact that they have a reverse race, like, everything on there is just genius.
Yes.
Boondocks is just genius.
And it still works cool even it. Today. People yes. pull clips from it, like, oh my God. Same with The Simpsons.
Oh my God.
Psychic ass show.
Better with The Simpsons. It's been a million episodes of that bitch. God damn.
That's been on as long as I've been alive.
Somebody blackmailed the contract.
It's still on? Like, new episodes?
Yeah.
Somebody must have blackmailed them in their contract and said this show was running forever.
Who watches The Simpsons now?
MAGA.
Right.
So, Justin.
Thank you.
South Park's still on, too.
I would love to have been a part of a great sketch comedy show. So you can fill in the blanks. I would love
know.
To have been a part of In Living Color.
Yes.
I would love to have been a part of The Chappelle Show.
Yes.
I would love to have been on, I would still love to currently be on Saturday Night Live. That's a goal of mine. I would love to be on there. So I would like to do that. Mm. I would love to have been one of the husbands on Desperate Housewives. I would love
yes.
to have been on Desperate Housewives.
I
had an affair
about.
With Brie. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like, I would have loved that.
I now want to change my answer. But
yeah.
Ahead.
And then, you know, it's a dream of mine to be in like a comedic sitcom that's iconic. So insert any of them. Sanford and Son, Martin.
Yes.
Good Times. You know what I'm saying? I would love to. Can you imagine if I was like JJ on Good Times? That's what I mean. So like just, you know, I would love to do that. That's it.
I need to amend my answer too. I definitely would have loved to have done Mad TV back in the day.
Just, oh my God, you were not
like,
watching was, Mad
I
love TV.
The cast of Mad TV was unmatched. Like, Deborah Wilson is a treasure and continues to
her
be one.
Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Nicole Sullivan is also a treasure and continues
yes.
to be one. Alex Borstein is a treasure and continues to be
oh
one.
Oh my God,
like,
how problematic
it was.
So many of those skits.
Yo, I will. You can fight me on this, but Mad TV and Saturday Night Live had a lot of legends, but Mad TV was better than SNL.
I used to say that.
It absolutely was.
Do y'all remember House of Bugging?
Yes, I remember what? House of Bugging. Yes.
Which is like the Hispanic version.
Yes.
Or the Latino, excuse me, yeah. Latino version of it.
And Robert Townsend had a variety show too. With Paula J. Parker.
Yes.
What? Yes. I don't remember that. Uh-huh. Oh, let me not say that because then y'all are going to harass me.
No, not many people
I
know
I said I didn't know
it.
Smart Guy and my mentions
you
for
do
the
now,
past
don't you,
like
friend.
3 weeks. I do now.
Do now.
Like, if I didn't know before,
I have to
that
filter out
what?
The term.
I would like to amend my answer, mm-hmm. and you all can judge me, and it's so fine.
Uh-oh.
You better not say Friends.
No, no, no.
Seinfeld.
No, no, no.
Oh, my God, yes. That's on my list.
I wish, and this person is Adam Devallo is really like one of my idols, and so like you know people idolize like certain actors and actresses, but Adam Devallo is the creator of the two greatest reality TV shows ever, who have redefined reality TV as we know it. Laguna Beach and the Hills.
I can't nigga, please.
When he said, say like, I had never heard that name.
No, I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell, now I'm going to tell you why.
Flavor Flav. I ain't never heard that name.
I'm going to tell you why.
No shits, medias.
Let me
tell you. First of all, the greatest reality TV show of all time is
Beating Bobby Brown. I know. But however, I'm talking about redefined. And the reason why I say this is because, they allowed people to believe that shit was real for like 6 years.
Yes.
And at the end, they pulled
the
yes. And niggas were like,
and I think they waited long enough to bring it back because you know the Hills is coming back.
Yeah, it is.
Wait,
not really
hold on,
interested
hold on.
Because
I clearly missed an episode.
Oh, the
finale.
No,
it was.
Wait.
Oh, friend. And I live tweeted this too. Like, it, friend.
It was
friend.
The Truman Show?
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you mean?
You didn't know it wasn't real?
Wait
a minute. Okay, hold on.
No, everybody was like, what was it? No, it was fake. Yeah.
What was fake exactly?
There was a script.
Everything.
Involved.
Yeah, everything,
like, everything
was
fake.
And like, and if you
their
go back.
Laguna Beach was fake?
Completely.
Everything was fake. Because
that apartment that Heidi and Lauren lived in the Hills.
Yeah,
all that
fake.
Shit was owned by MTV.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta be fucking kidding me.
That is.
And so in the last episode, they unveiled the sets.
Yeah,
and
it's with, the last episode is with,
see what happens
with
when you
the
don't
Jenner
finish
child.
A season?
You weren't supposed to.
To see what happens when you don't finish the season.
It's fine. Kristen Cavallari was on it. Nobody really cared. But
every time
however, her new show is great. But anywho.
I heard the husband is the draw.
Yes,
show.
That is not her.
But
because
I, well, I mean, clearly, paint drying. But cares. I never, you know, I never, well, let's be clear. She was never the draw on those
it
shows.
Never,
period.
Never was, ever. It was everybody tuned in for Lauren and I.
Yes,
let's be
Lauren
clear.
Conrad.
Yeah.
Please, I tuned in for Spencer. What are you talking about?
Well, that came later, but yeah.
That nigga was terrible.
That's high.
It was a horrible
Spidey.
I could have done without her.
Yeah. Spidey. Yeah,
her and Tariq can
weren't
go to the same place.
Weren't they just at the
VMAs? Yeah, because they're coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The show is coming back.
Yeah.
And they got a fucking baby and shit. Like, Heidi and Spencer then made a kid.
Wow.
Who allowed that to happen?
Ooh, exactly.
The ghetto.
I mean, that's... love everlasting.
But I mean, and it also, like, the way even Mona and Friends shoot the new show, like, it's very similar to The Hills and how they do, like, the single camera shots and stuff. Mm. It's very, very similar. Like Siesta Key, which is great.
Wow. Mind blown.
You need to get on it. Like I said, I like mindless trash. Listen, living in New York is so hard and so difficult, and being black is so, like, tiresome sometimes. It's just like I said, I'm tired of being black excellence. It's just like, black girl, I guess, like, I'm tired. And sometimes I want to watch meaningless television, so I'll turn on Siesta Key or like Nailed It, which
I'm tired
is great.
Of being black excellence too. Sometimes I want to be black egg salad, a standard but still good, you know what I'm saying? So I want to play by the rules but still
salad.
Be good. I want to be black excellence. I want to be black egg salad.
I love
yeah.
egg salad.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks again to Talkspace for their continued support of the Friend Zone podcast. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Remember, therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories, which always smell like poop. It's also about practical, everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. Having a therapist simply provides you a designated person for you to talk with, who is trained to listen and help you make positive changes. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for just a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's code ZONE and Talkspace.com/zone. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
I just started this week. Oh, man, that's why I don't remember the name of it.
That's why I...
No, it starts with an S, and it's these kids that got into the drug game.
Successful.
Snowfall.
Snowfall.
It's good. Are you on season one? Or you
I just started.
Ooh, I'm Snowfall is good. Oh, yeah, you need to. Yeah,
and this is on another. And this is another drug show, and I'm like, I'm clearly so drawn to them. And there were parts of it where I was like, oh, my God, why am I watching this?
But Snowfall is good.
Snowfall really is good. There is an episode that is very, yes, very triggering.
Yes. Yes.
And what season?
The first one.
Oh, great.
Yes. So look out for that.
Snowfall is great. It came out, I thought it was in the vein of Claws, because you know how Claws is about like the drug game, but a nail salon?
Right.
I thought Snowfall was like the hair salon equivalent, and the Snowfall was a reference to dandruff. I was way off.
Jeez.
You were.
Okay, so to marry Snowfall to what you were just talking about, do you remember, did you ever watch Snow on the Bluff?
Yes,
you know I did. That's one of the greatest movies of all time.
So you know that wasn't real, right?
Yeah,
yeah, but elements were.
LMA was in Snow on the Bluff.
Elements. No.
Oh, maybe that's why I just thought about when you were talking.
I remember being lost though at first. I was like, "Is this real? No, it's not real. Is it real?
I thought Snow on the Bluff was real.
It's like an emotional roller coaster." I don't know what finally gave it away.
I actually thought that it was real. Well, me and my friends, we were watching it when we were young, and I remember thinking it was real, but we was laughing, crying, like on some nigga shit.
You know how I knew it wasn't real from the get? Because he robbed 3 white people, and he still managed to make a whole film.
True.
And the shootout.
The shoot.
Like you can't rob 3 white people and get away with it.
What other shows are you guys watching?
Just Another Girl on the IRT.
Cut that out. You know what? But I believe her though. It's Jade.
That's the thing about
Jade
it.
Jade made me watch. We watched that movie together when she was pregnant, and it was the worst thing ever. The worst movie period ever.
That was
period.
My jam when I was younger.
What else you watching? Kids.
Oh, yo, right.
Yo, Kids is a movie.
Kids was the shit.
I love Kids.
That's my movie.
Kids was one of the reasons I was like, damn, I'm missing being a teenager in New York. Them niggas is lit. And then I got to the end and I was like, whoa.
A little too lit, right?
What am I watching?
But what, you know what fucks
Kids
me up?
Would be a movie I would make.
Yes, we know. Can I tell you, this is a very irrational fear. I used to, when I first moved here.
Oh, gosh.
I thought that man was going to be on the train one day. Like, you remember the man in Kids on the skateboard? And I was out when I first moved here.
I was about to sing this song.
I know. I've been trying so hard not to sing it. But I used to be terrified that I'd get on the train, that man would come scooting in. And I'm like, oh, my God. Please don't
start
dancing on the bars.
And then you came to New York and met the Showtime boys.
And then I met the Showtime boys.
That kick you in your face when they flip.
Your dress is dirty.
What are you watching?
A bunch of Netflix shit.
That you like, not just random.
I watch a bunch of Netflix shit. So right now, I should not say that I'm watching this because Crystal was saying it's awful. But I've been watching Insatiable.
Maya told me she liked it, so I was like, but she's funny because Maya was like, you're not going to like it.
So Maya
you know
knows.
Your friends know you. She was like, it's a little too campy.
Yes.
And she knows I hate campy. I don't know why, but I hate campy same. Shows. I
Unless
can't get
I'm
into
all
it.
Right with it. You know what I mean? I feel you.
I don't know. There's never on all right level for me. I just don't connect. Because it's just like so cheesy. I'm like, ugh. I remember I tried to get into Jane the Virgin, I think it was.
Nope.
And there's a little bit of campiness in it, but I could hang. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's subtle. It's slight. But I like the storyline.
Like Drop Dead Diva.
Oh, I never watched
I
that.
Love Drop Dead Diva.
I love Drop Dead Diva.
That's about Sheree.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Vanessa Williams.
It's about Kaya.
It.
Yeah.
There's nothing She's diva, not a diva about Kaya.
Not exactly. Drop Dead Devil.
Drop Dead.
Yeah. Right.
I'm loving Snowfall right now.
Do you watch I Am a Killer?
Yes.
So good.
I love that
great,
show.
It's a great
Y'all know
show.
I love a true crime.
You know yeah. I love when they get into the crime. Psychological conversations. Yeah. You know what I love about it? That they introduce you to the criminal first.
Yep.
So yeah. you get attached
you get
him
as a
to
person.
Him. You hear his story. He's giving you backstory. And then you speak to the victims or the investigators or the police after, and then you get mind fucked because they give you a whole different yep. perspective mm-hmm. and you don't know who to believe because both sides are completely plausible.
Like
and
Mr.
you get
Buchanan.
Emotionally wrapped up. Mm. Right.
Mm. He's That's going to keep me up at night, dog.
No, it's not. It
I mean,
so
it's like, they on death row, Dustin, they ain't coming to get you.
It don't matter. The fact that I'm now in thought about, like, the different perspective and shit, that is scary.
All I'll say is that it messed with my discernment. When I'm like, damn, my discernment is trash because a lot of those criminals, I was sitting there like,
Except
oh,
for
man.
Was voted for
them.
We voted for you.
Where you start feeling like, dang, they really got the wrong dude and he's going to, you know, be in jail for like 80 years. And then you hear the family talking, you're like, hold on.
He's lying. Talking like, we seen that motherfucker on the camera.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I only felt that way about that, about one person.
The first black one?
No.
The one who said he wasn't there for the
no,
shooting?
No. The only one I felt that they should free was the Latino guy who, the 16-year-old who killed it. And he said he was the son of Satan.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Bad baby.
Yeah. Yes. How is it a thing?
Hits.
Yes.
Black person writing their hits.
Got her. She's down.
Right. You done took Jade out.
D-O-W-N. Jade is down. Down.
Got her.
I'm finding me. Oh.
Where do you see yourself on TV?
I'm finding me. Oh. Sorry.
What do you mean?
Do all the shows that you're watching, do you see yourself in any of these shows? Or why do you watch these shows? Why do you watch the shows that you watch? Like even the I Am a Killer shows.
Because I smoke a lot of weed, and so sorry.
Like, what do you use the content to fill it for? Because I watch a lot of anime specifically because I think to myself, okay, well, I'm high right now, and I want to enjoy the colors. But I also say,
not the
can
colors.
I make this beneficial to myself, and can I read the subtitles and keep up?
Or but anime be having gems.
No, but and that's the thing. Mm-hmm.
Like
for me,
all low key.
And that's why, friend. That's why I started ninja training because I was like, I'm gonna have to watch some anime because it always keeps me inspired, motivated, shit like that. So I've decided to start Dragon Ball Z from the very beginning and use that as my fitness training tool now.
I hear that. I mean, I like all the hood shit. Really.
Yeah.
That's why I'm.
Cause you gangster.
I just like. I don't know. I'm always drawn to it. It's like movies like Paid in Full. And like you know,
the best of all time.
They're always Wood like Harris, my favorite. Even Belly. I know. Yes. Right? Everything Wood Harris is in. So I guess that's probably what draws me. It's if I can see my life in it somehow, it'll like pull me in. Mm. But then I do like things where I don't see myself in at all. Like Random Acts of Flyness. There are parts of it where I'm like, I don't see myself in a lot of it, but I can't stop watching it. It's just, it draws me in.
I feel the same way about Love and Hip Hop.
Oh, gosh.
I do. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, it's one of those things that I have reconciled with myself concerning. I don't care. When I say I don't care, I mean about the judgment that is usually accompanied with a declaration that you watch Love and Hip Hop.
That's true.
I don't care about you judging me, okay? Love and Hip Hop is great. I often make the argument that it's our generation's soap opera. And that's just why we enjoy it.
I love Mona and Friends.
It speaks to exactly what you were just saying, friend, that it's a show that I love, but I can't see myself in.
Right.
And ain't nothing wrong.
It.
Yeah.
Like Black Ink Crew.
Yeah. Black Ink Crew is good.
I love CarMax, but I could love Black Ink Crew. I love watching it. So, I mean, you know. There you go.
I mean, I don't know if I see myself in any of these shows. Maybe I like
you
like
could be
music.
On Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You'd be perfect. Oh my god.
Yeah, you could be
What's
on Curb
name?
Your Enthusiasm.
I feel like you and him have the same sense of
Larry
humor.
David.
Larry David. Fucking David.
That's an honor. Oh my gosh, thank you guys.
Legit.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like. Like it's like rap music. Like I'm not like I move coke in my head like all day, but I carry a Merce. Like I'm no.
So Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who I would be on there though.
I do, but that's another conversation. For
But I mean, that is a good question. Are people drawn to shows that they see themselves in? Like, do you have to connect with a character to want to see it every week?
Only on Pornhub.
Oh, gosh.
You're drawing a character.
Or the little show you made me watch with the little girl prisoners.
That's because that girl looks like you.
What? Brianna.
Yes.
Wait, what?
See, I wasn't the only person.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about
Handmaid's
Tale?
No.
Oh, but I do. That's the show that I
was Handmaid's Tale. Remember there was a light-skinned woman, and when she started to say her name... And was it her name?
Ooh, Handmaid sells another one.
Ooh,
that is.
Let's not.
That's the one that I said I see myself in. Because that's where our government is going.
No.
That's where our government's going.
No.
You mean that's where our government's been?
Well.
Because if Mike Pence ever becomes president.
Listen, we all. And I'm going to be wearing red because I got a baby. So they know I'm fertile.
Yeah. And tying this together, Mike Pence looks like Spencer from The Hills.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, with that being said,
yes.
I mean, I love this conversation. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are so different. We watch totally different shows. Like you were saying, Dustin, you just want to be entertained. Asante's finding his gems in anime.
Yes.
Jade, I don't know. Jade's watching the girls on the IRT.
You have good TV, good classic TV.
But I mean, I guess that proves that you just have to create what you want to create. And I was curious if you guys have been affected by the heightened sensitivity, because I know that I think about it a lot. I get anxious about, you know, putting things out that respects everyone. I don't want anyone to feel like, oh my God, you know.
I ain't never seen none of your content be disrespectful.
Well, no, but you know, we're human and we all have blind spots. So there's gonna be blind spots at some point.
Your shit see everything.
Your shit see everything. But I'm glad. Thank you guys for the conversation. Thank you, Jaden XD.
Thank you, Jaden.
Thank you for having us.
This is great feedback too for people that are currently working on projects.
Yeah.
And worried about how it's going to be received by the world.
His name is XD by letters to you guys, not like sex with somebody you used to be in a relationship with. His name is literally the letter X and the letter D, not XD. Anyway, go on.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us. Please tell people where they can find your show and just you guys on the internet.
They can find Jade and I over on in Podcastlandia on Fridays and sometimes Mondays, depending upon if we like to do two episodes that week.
Okay.
Yeah, we working.
Oh, yeah, what's happening with the novel?
Oh, well, you'll
Did
hear
y'all
about that
just
later.
Drop off?
Y'all working with Zane, right?
It's on Kaya status. Right?
No, Quan Mills.
Nah. No, we decided to do something else, which is even doper.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we're everywhere and anywhere at or you can just find us at jadenxd.com.
Yay!
Yes.
Yeah. You can find me at the urgent care because my ass is dying.
Yeah, all that coughing that you guys have heard
me.
Is Jay.
I'll take it.
It wasn't me smoking.
And it wasn't smoking. Right. I'm over here having a fit.
Find us at Jaden XD anywhere and everywhere you get your podcast or where you stalk your exes.
As always, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.